You're listening to KRML Carmel.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get counted down. Six. Five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show here on a Thursday. Glad to have all of you along with us, coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Southwest Florida, Naples, Fort Myers area, all around the country, all around the world, and indeed all around the world. Lots of email lately from Europe. My, those people do keep track of our political situation. Of course, it is one of those situations where, America coughs and the rest of the world gets a cold. And I don't say that condescendingly. I say that just because we are an important player, maybe the important player on the world stage, and so it does do them a lot of good in other countries to pay heed on what goes on in this country politically, so that they can get ready for it. Right? If they would have had any idea on how Bushy Boy was going to perform, I think it would have been a world-class outcry all around the world instead of just from we Democrats here in this country. I hope you'll call us on the show today. I hope you'll give us your opinions. The big news today, of course, is that Scooter Libby, the big story of the day, Scooter Libby has been remanded to the custody of the federal prison system. He's got somewhere between 4 and 6, 8 weeks, I don't know how many, to turn himself in. And the federal prison system has to decide where they're going to put him and so forth. That's the big story of the day. Scooter's denied his freedom pending appeal. He's going to have to go to prison. Of course, you know the deal. Today he was at this hearing in front of the judge to try and put it off. He wanted the judge to let him be free during his appeal, which we all know could last forever and a day. So now he's going to have to go to prison. And I guess the big question is, will he actually have to go to prison? You got to know that Cheney will step in and try and gain a pardon for Libby. Or maybe Cheney will continue to let him be thrown to the wolves if he knows for sure Scooter can't touch him. That's just one consideration. Will Junior Bush step in? Does he have the same relationship with Libby as does Cheney? And some of you may not agree with me on this, but frankly, and I do mean this, I hope Bush does give him a pardon. Not that I think it's deserved, but just because It'll show the nation just how little regard for the rule of law these Republican thugs really do have. That's right. And we know how they feel about the law. They're always rubbing it in the Democrats' faces. You know, back during the Bill Clinton years, when you heard the term rule of law ad nauseum, every single day, all day, the rule of law. We must respect the rule of law. He lied under oath. Well, regardless of what kind of a crime you think Scooter Libby is guilty of, he has been judged guilty by a jury of his peers. And he did, in fact, lie under oath. And so let us do observe the rule of law. Let's do. And you're going to hear an outcry. My friend Digby, my friend Digby wrote this today. Fasten your seatbelts, he says. The shrieking harpies are about to go berserk. Scooter was denied his request to stay out of jail on appeal. I hear, and Digby goes on to say, I hear there's going to be a candlelight vigil at the Lincoln Memorial led by David Broder and Mary Matlin tonight. Tony Blankley is talking about a hunger strike. Some think it's just a way to motivate himself for his latest diet. And Sean Hannity is going to make a pilgrimage to Selma and spray himself with a garden hose in solidarity with his brother Scooter. Ann Coulter is also scheduled to hang Hillary in effigy down in South Beach, but that was planned well before the Scooter verdict. The rest of the D.C. insiders are planning to fan out onto TV later today to emit primal screams and flagellate themselves, after which they'll gather in various secret locations to drink martinis and pray. They shall overcome, says Digby. Maybe so. Maybe so. But there will be a huge outcry. I think we know that. And I don't know. How are you betting on the pardon? I'm saying he will get one. I think he will. And really and truly, I think the Democrats and the left, and I think I may start pulling the old Republican trick of distinguishing ourselves between Democrats and liberals now. They're like the Republicans are no longer Republicans, they're just conservatives. But I think those of us on the left, and not me, certainly, and probably not you, but I think we're missing a real opportunity with this whole Scooter mess. And apparently this is another example of how our diversity of interest out here on the left kind of holds its back. It does. And we're so diverse that it is, well, it's our bane sometimes. But the right-wing spin machine has been very successful at spinning this, and you've heard it a million times, this no underlying crime meme, which has been proven to be an absolute sham. And the problem isn't that Scooter didn't do anything wrong. He obviously did, and he will pay for it. But when we get gifts like this, we really have to expose the hypocrisy of the right, who want every single nickel bag pot possessor to do hard time. You know how they feel about that. Maybe Scooter should get more time. I don't know. But there are a lot of people just like Scooter going to prison for nonviolent crimes for whom this system just isn't working. So for those that can't help making a federal case out of very small things, this might be an opportunity to exploit, if not actually show their hypocrisy. And I wonder if Scooter might not be the poster child for what's actually wrong with this system. I wonder. How do you feel about Scoot? Do you think he got too much of a sentence? Do you think he got too little? Do you think he's holding back information? Do you think he'll squeal like a pig when he has to go to jail? If he goes to jail, or do you think Junior will give him a pardon? Going to be interesting to find out. And I do want to remind everybody to head on over to BillyShearsMusic.com for his Thursday night special. You're going to find that one very special. BillyShearsMusic.com, and check out his Thursday night special. 866-546-5254. Let's go over to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. It's Kevin from Washington.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, I think this is a win-win-win situation for the Democrats with Scooter Libby. If Bush pardons him, it makes him look even worse than he can be. And if he doesn't, it's very likely Scooter is going to squeal unless a lot of money was paid up front to take care of him and his family for life afterwards. Because I don't think he's capable of doing 2 years in jail.
I think I agree with you. It is a win-win. As Scooter's age, and I don't know, I think he's 56, 57 years old, riding along in there somewhere. At that age, going to prison.
Regardless of how club fit it may be, it's still a difficult thing.
Yeah, and that's a long time, 30 months.
I'm half his age, and I can't, comprehend going to club fit for 3 years, much less him. So unless a lot of money was paid up front, and I'm talking like at least an eight-figure, amount, it's a win-win situation. Hello?
Yes, still there.
Yeah, it's a win-win-win situation. Because he can squeal, and, I think Bush is at the point where he doesn't care how bad he looks anymore. So he may just give him the pardon, so he won't squeal.
I think you're right about Bush not caring. Hey, we got some big interference. We're going to have to let you go, Kevin. Thanks so much for your call.
Okay.
I agree with you. Let's head on over to line two here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy. Did you say Ann Coulter was going to hang an effigy of...
I had my tongue in cheek. I said she very well
may
be.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me.
No, it wouldn't at all.
But I was thinking, I think... I don't know where things like that would be a freedom of expression, freedom of speech. But beside the point, I was thinking about the letter that you got yesterday from Madeline.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why I call her Madeline. I'm thinking about Madeline Marie O'Hare, but it's Mary Madeline.
Yes.
And I think that would make a good song.
I think you're
and
right.
And kind of get the message out, too.
Yes, yes. Yeah, the sad letter from Mary Madeline pleading. And,
yeah.
and don't get me wrong, I'm not some heartless guy sitting here. It's sad that anybody has to go to jail. It's sad that Scooter
Davis. It's sad that anybody has
to. Yeah,
it
is. And
these women that get involved with somebody selling drugs and they go to jail for 14 or 15 years or longer?
That's right. And
so you have to think of it in that. And he could have been hung, because that's in the treasonous territory.
Yes, it certainly is. And, it's sad anybody has to go to jail, and I don't take any particular delight in anybody going to jail, but justice is justice.
But I think the song would be funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For Matt, for, ludicrous, for, I don't know. Anyway, much ado about nothing.
Yeah.
But a lot of people believe him.
That's right. That's right, they do.
I wonder how much money she'll get.
Oh, who knows? I have no idea.
Oh, I'm going to let you go. You said you got bad weather.
Thanks for...
I think we're working on it here.
No, we don't have bad weather here. We got beautiful weather today. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. So far, we have beautiful weather here today. It kind of reminds me of an old song. What was it? An old Al Jolson song? I'm not sure. Scoot, scoot, scooter, goodbye. Scoot, scoot, scooter, don't cry. Oh, yeah. Taking liberties with the lyrics of that song there. 866-546-5254. If you'd like to give us a call and weigh in on the Scooter Libby deal going on here today. Will he win an appeal? Do you think there's a federal judge sitting in Washington, D.C. that'll grant him an appeal and overturn this whole thing? I mean, he's going to appeal. I mean, he's already been granted an appeal. But do you think they can get a judge to overturn this? I don't know. I am not that well-versed on the intricacies of the law in Washington, and so I am therefore not qualified to comment on some of this. But I don't know. None of these people have spilled their guts yet. Colin Powell starting to speak out a little bit. I'm trying to think who else. But none of these people that have really gotten trashed by the White House have spoken out. Harriet Myers, she's kept her mouth shut. Of course, Gonzo's still in the administration. So, I don't know. Maybe he'll spill his guts when... I was going to say when he gets out. He may well not get out. He may well stay in this administration. Here we are in June. And I could be wrong. I haven't really looked at the calendar, but I think... let me take a look at the calendar and see if it's not marked. I think summer starts a week from today, if I'm not mistaken. And where I live... here in Southwest Florida, it seems to be summer all year long. It's just a little hotter sometimes and a little more humid in other times. But the sun shines all year long, and, you know, it's beautiful all year long. But when I lived, to use the phrase everybody around here says, up north, one of the famous phrases used around here. When I lived up north, and summer was... eagerly anticipated by almost everybody. It was. And sure, some folks up north love the fall with the falling leaves and the crisp air. And I did too, the Buckeye football games. And other people like the spring with the fresh flowers and the new plant life blooming and the new beginnings and all that. And still others love the winter because of being able to ski and skate and go sledding and all. But I have to think that for just about everybody, summer is the favorite. And we're about to enter another summer. And this is the fifth summer since the start of the Bush War. And it seems that the fun summer activities will go on as usual. Going to the beach, Little League ball games, picnics, Cedar Point, Disney World, boating, all those amusement parks and... all these things will go on like they do every year. And everyone will be having a good time, and the farthest thing from most people's minds will be the Bush-Iraq War. Folks just don't want to face the cold, hard facts about what's going on 8,000 miles away, out of sight, and for the most part, out of mind. And... they don't want to acknowledge that over 3,500 flag-draped coffins have been floated into Dover, Delaware in the middle of the night so as not to be seen by the public. And they don't want to think about the more than 60,000 Americans who've been wounded in Bush's folly. Some of them grievously wounded, missing limbs and suffering horrible brain injuries and having massive burns. People don't want to think about those. And if I can borrow a phrase, those inconvenient truths. And I've noticed since the beginning of this fiasco that this has been, for the most part, someone else's war. It has. And the attitude has been that, well, my kid isn't going, so why should I be worried? After all, it's just a war, and those fighting it volunteered to do it. And I'm paying them out of my tax money to do my dirty work, so why should I be terribly concerned? You know, the vast majority of Americans have not sacrificed anything at all for this war. Not like other wars. Not like the Second World War when things were rationed. Not like Vietnam when everybody and his brother was getting drafted. Same thing in the First World War. Everybody lost somebody on their street, their block, wherever they lived. We're enjoying the same kind of life as we did before this war. And sure, the money's being borrowed and the gas prices are through the ceiling, but that's a small price to pay to fight our glorious leader's so-called war on terror, right? We now have Bush's new surge plan in full effect, and the only surge I can see is the number of casualties, both American and Iraqi. We have a Congress who evidently is not seriously interested in stopping the whole thing. Let's face it, the Republicans love this war. They think it's some sort of holy crusade to rid themselves of rid all of us of the evil Muslims. And the Democrats, most of them anyway, seem content to let the whole thing play out and damage the White House so they can take it back themselves in the next election. And we've got guys like Senators Kit Bond and Joe Lieberman coming back from visits to Iraq and telling us of the great progress being made there. Don't they understand? These guys were given personal guided tours by General Petraeus. You can only imagine what he showed them. I doubt they were shown any piles of freshly blown up Iraqi bodies. I doubt they were shown the scrap heap of American armored vehicles that had been death traps for our soldiers. Now, these senators were treated to a tour of the half dozen or so safe streets in Baghdad so that they can come home and help the Bush propaganda machine tell the country, don't worry, it's all better now. We have a president that's so unpopular that he has to travel to Albania, for God's sakes, to find somebody who loves him. Hell, I doubt the people in Albania know a lot about this guy and his utter disregard for human life. Come to think of it, he'd fit right in with some of the leaders they've had. Maybe that's why they like him, because they figure he can't be as bad as some of the tyrants they've had. Personally, I'd like to see him sit in the front seat of a Humvee and travel the streets of Baghdad and Fallujah for a couple of days. No big entourage, no huge escort detail behind him, no helicopters flying overhead. Just get in the damn vehicle and have a driver tour the back streets of Baghdad. That's what I'd like to see Junior Bush do. And then I'd like to hear his story about this war. We're watching our military being decimated right in front of our eyes, and it appears to me that the draft will have to be reinstated, because after this, how in the world are recruiters going to be able to get new recruits? Well, of course, lately they've been lowering their standards, and they bait kids with money. That'll work for a while, but not forever. And in the midst of all of this, we have this parade of presidential candidates marching around the country telling the citizens they're going to do this and they're going to do that. Why don't any of them go in front of the microphones and say, this war must end right now and I will lead the way? Yes, we've got Dennis Kucinich saying that. But have any of the leading candidates said that? No. Hell no. Why don't any of them have the guts to do that? Is being the president of the United States so all-consuming, so utterly appealing that the candidates are willing to go along with anything to get into the Oval Office? Are none of them willing to take a stand to end it now? Except for Dennis Kucinich, a man who, if he looked like George Clooney, he'd probably be our president. And that's the truth. Look, as distasteful as it is to face the truth, we have to understand that our country is going downhill, and it's going downhill quickly. We're losing our financial influence in the world. We're ruining our military. Our jobs are going overseas by the hundreds of thousands. And worst of all, we've lost our moral compass as a nation. And I don't want to be the purveyor of doom and gloom every day, because I still have faith that it's not too late to turn things around. But we have to start now. We have to let our voices be heard. Not a few of us standing on the street corners of a few towns. Millions of us. We have to take to the streets. We have to march. We have to protest. As Molly Ivan said, we need to be banging on the pots and pans. Anything that will stop the people of this nation from their willingness to bury their heads in the sand while everything around them is turning to crap. This attitude that we're stuck in has to stop. And it's abundantly clear to me that unless you and I put a stop to it, it's not going to. 866-546-52, that's 54. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, guys. Kevin again. I couldn't resist calling you again. I have two words. Willful ignorance.
Well, that's what it is.
Willful ignorance. A lot of Americans don't want to face the truth. They don't want to face the fact that their hard-earned dollars worth 40% less than what it was before this rodeo clown came into office. They don't want to face the fact that for every pair of shorts you buy at Walmart and the Gap and Old Navy, that 100,000 Chinese people lose their fingers every day in the process of making it. And they don't want to face the fact that we are really, in reality, underpaying for a gallon of gas. We are underpaying, not overpaying, underpaying, in the terms of national treasure, the military, and whatever else you can think of, and lives. You know, what is so hard about having a vehicle run on sugarcane like they do in South America? And guess where those cars are coming from? GM and Ford.
Yeah, that's right. They are. They are.
That's all I have to say. I didn't mean to monopolize your time.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling.
Goodbye.
No, he's right. We just had a new study out coming from the Campaign for America Future. And by the way, I'll be at that big get-together next week in Washington, and our show will be live from the Washington Hilton Hotel. Campaign for America Future, the Take Back America Conference, this coming Monday and Tuesday at our normal time from 3 to 5. Only we'll be here on Monday and Tuesday. And, you know, they've got a new study out detailing some of the things that Kevin was just talking about. 69% of Americans believe the government. 69%. And this is information for the radical conservatives who believe that they have all the answers, that believe that they have America behind them. They do not. 69% of Americans believe the government should take care of those who can't take care of themselves. And twice as many people, 43% versus 20%, want government to provide many more services, even if it means an increase in spending. And the economy, 77% of Americans think Congress should increase the minimum wage. 66% believe upper-income people pay too little in taxes. 53% feel the Bush administration tax cuts have failed because they've increased the deficit and caused cuts in government programs. And regarding social issues, who do the politicians listen to on these things? Who do they listen to? Certainly not the American people. 61% of Americans support embryonic stem cell research. 62% want to protect Roe v. Wade. Only 3% of Americans rank same-sex marriage as the most important social issue, like some of these evangelicals do. And on security, 43% of Americans say we're spending too much on our military. 60% feel the federal government should do more about restricting the kind of guns that people can purchase. 75% of Americans would be willing to pay more for electricity if it were generated by renewable sources to help global warming. 52% of Americans believe the best way for the U.S. to reduce its reliance on foreign oil is to have the government invest in alternative energy sources. And on immigration, 57% of Americans feel the most recent immigrants to the U.S. contribute to this country rather than cause problems. 67% of Americans feel that, on the whole, immigration is a good thing for this country. And 69% of Americans think that it's the responsibility of the federal government to make sure all Americans have access to health coverage. 76% find access to health care more important than maintaining the Bush tax cuts. And let me say that again. 76% of the American public finds access to health care more important than maintaining the Bush tax cuts, and 3 in 5 would be willing to have their own taxes increased to achieve universal coverage. What does that tell you about our politicians in Washington, D.C. right now? Doesn't it tell you the same thing it tells me, that they just are not listening to the people? That they're listening to big business? They're not listening to us at all? We're going to pause for a break. We'll be back in a moment.
America's most dangerous investigative reporter, Greg Palast, joins Bob Kincaid for a bit of conversation radio.
But I have to tell you, this is such a pleasure to be able to actually lay it out.
Greg, anytime you want to lay it out, okay? We're reinventing things here. We call it conversation radio. We're very serious about that. And anytime you've got one of those that's a bit of a Gordian knot, bring it here, please, because there are people hungry for information and who are willing to, you know, this is not the Fox audience. We actually sit and think about stuff.
I like it. That's why I like this. It's the head-on radio network as opposed to the head-off television network that we've been suffering with. So I do appreciate your work, and let's set up another time. Take it easy, Bob.
Indeed. Take care, Greg. Thank you so much.
Head-on with Bob Kincaid, weeknights 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, here on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network.
Got a police dog craving for a fire.
This is the Head On Radio Network. The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Fox Talk with John Fox. We'll take a look at the tragic death of the Rolling Stones founder, Brian Jones. Was it an accident? A suicide? Or was there just something more to it?
He started pleading. Oh, come on, you know, come on, let me go, will ya?
It's not a case that was investigated as a possible homicide.
We did not mean to kill him.
I've been holding out so long.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
America.
Sit down in the shade.
I want to hear from you today. I want to hear from you today on a couple of things. It's lots of subjects, as a matter of fact. But I'm particularly interested today to know, do you think Scooter Libby will get a pardon? Do you think he deserves one? Do you think Bush will have the guts? We've already had Kevin say he thinks it's a win-win for the Democrats on this. Bush doesn't dare give a pardon. And if he does, well, it'll make them look even more corrupt than we already know they are. Hard to say how this is going to turn out with Scooter Libby. Who knows? They might even get the Federal Appeals Court to get him off altogether. You never know what's going to happen in the political scene in Washington, D.C., particularly with these judgeships. 866-546-5254. If you've got Vonage or one of those companies and you have unlimited calling, please give us a call at 941-876-6896. We'll be happy to talk to you on any of those lines. And, of course, we have our toll-free Washington, D.C. number. You can call that one, 202-370-6153. And in Phoenix, in the Phoenix Bureau, 623-444-5252. I'm wondering when Junior Bush leaves office. I was thinking about this morning. I was pondering this. Being a former military pilot and all. And since he's totally committed to his war in Iraq, I'm wondering if being the upstanding gentleman that many people think he is, if he's the righteous individual, righteous religious individual with all of our welfare at the foremost of his mind, I wonder if he'll lead by example and head on down to the Alabama National Guard offices and re-up. Actually, I don't know if re-up is the correct term, since he never seemed to officially end his assignment there in the first place, but he just kind of faded away and nobody knows what really happened to him. But wouldn't it be good for him to join up and head on over to Baghdad and show us what a real Texas cowboy ass-kicking president can do? Wouldn't that be the right thing for him to do? I mean, he's going to be out of a job in 18 months, and we all know the war will still be going on then, and there'll be plenty of battles to be fought and plenty of rounds of ammo to be fired and plenty of Humvees to still be blown up and things. So he's not going to be doing anything. He's not all that old. He's not going to have anything to do. God knows they're not going to want him out on a speaking tour. Now, that's funny. I never thought of that. I wonder if his people have called the Washington Speakers Bureau already and offered him up, and he said, oh, no, hell no, you must be kidding. But wouldn't it be appropriate for him to bunk with these guys that he sent over there? Wouldn't they appreciate that? Or does the term fragging come into play here? I'm just saying. Ah, yes. And I see that Junior's star power raising money for the goofy old party, the GOP. I see that Junior's not as highly thought of as he once was with the high rollers in the Republican Party. Gosh, I wonder why. I wonder why. Here's a man in the second term. Eisenhower had a second term. Nixon had a second term. St. Ronald of Reagan had a second term. And by all accounts, except for Nixon, all those guys were pretty popular during their second term. Of course, Poppy Bush didn't get the chance at a second term. Seemed like Mr. Clinton followed up those plans, threw a monkey wrench into those plans. But here's Junior in his second term, beloved by all the hardcore right-wingers. And he goes to a fundraising dinner the other night, Wednesday evening, I believe it. Well, yeah, I think it was last evening. And the dinner brings in $12 million less than it did last year, only 1 year. And he got polls showing that Bush's approval rating dipping below 30%. No matter, says the dinner's chairman. Harold Ford's opponent down in Tennessee. What was his name? Corker. He was the chairman of this dinner last night. But it was the president's dinner, and it raises money to support the GOP congressional candidates, and it raised almost 50% less than it did last year. The dinner's take, still $15.4 million, according to CNN, says was a stark illustration of the changed political circumstances for Bush, who broke all known fundraising records in getting and keeping the White House. Last year, when Bush headed the same dinner, the event raised $27 million. This year's take is less than 60 cents for every dollar raised in 2006. And the dinner comes the same day as a new NBC Wall Street Journal poll. And, of course, we'll have the people over at Fox. And how are the Fox people going to handle a poll like this? They hate NBC, particularly one Bill Falufa O'Reilly hates NBC. But it's teamed up with the Wall Street Journal, and they love the Wall Street Journal. So how do they complain about this poll? It shows Bush's approval rating dipping below 30% overall, and down to just 62% amongst his fellow Republicans. Imagine that. 38% of the Republicans can't stand the guy anymore. So, Junior was a big disappointment at the dinner. They did raise $7.5 million for the National Republican Senatorial Committee and $7.9 million for its House counterpart, the National Republican Congressional Committee. But off almost 50% from last year. Of course, Bushy's approval ratings are off considerably from last year, and really off considerably if over the past few years. My. You know, I mentioned Bill O'Reilly a minute ago. I wonder why all the other pundits on TV let O'Reilly slide the way they do. You get some of the people on MSNBC that, they give token lip service against O'Reilly. But they never get really upset over it. I saw Dan A. Abramson, or whatever his name is, the big boss over at MSNBC right now. Don't care much for that guy. But saw him complaining about O'Reilly. Why don't they bring up and just pound O'Reilly relentlessly, unmercifully with that deal, that sexual harassment thing that he was involved in? Why is it that Bill O'Reilly got away with saying, "I'll never speak of this again," after they paid off the woman who was involved in the aggrieved party in the sexual harassment suit? His former, what was she, producer? Why have all the other pundits just let this go? O'Reilly says, "I'll never speak of this again." Well, that doesn't mean we don't have to speak of it again. Here's a guy that has no credibility at all, and they just let him slide. He's the big guy on cable. Obviously guilty of sexual harassment in the sleaziest kind of way, I might add. And then everybody just kind of lets that slide. Well, it's Bill O'Reilly. I guess we don't dare say much, huh? I don't know. 866-546-5254, if you'd like to call the program. Do you have the same feeling that I'm getting from the Democrats right now? Do you think they've decided that they'll just watch Junior Bush dig deeper and deeper and a deeper hole and allow the Democrats to take the White House and then they can end the war? That's how I see it playing out. Many Democrats are starting to repeat the mantra that only, you know, our only hope is to win in 2008 so that we can end this war. And I ask them, our only hope is to allow this carnage to continue for another 18 months? Losing the lives of countless more American military personnel and thousands more of Iraqis. That's the only hope. That's just plain nuts. I got news for everyone. Yes, the public sees this as the Bush War. But don't ever forget how quickly the public forgets. And when a new president takes office, this mess will then become the property of that occupant of the White House. I don't care who it is, if it's a Republican or a Democrat. When a new president takes office after Bush leaves, and make no mistake, he has plans to keep this war going full bore until he gets out of office, because he knows damn well he's going to push it off on the next president, probably a Democrat, and that person, that president, is the one who will get ultimately get blamed for it. Bush will be out of the picture as far as the public's concerned, and the responsible one will be the new president. You can count on that. The thing to remember is that politics is all about now. Not 18 months from now, but right now. Take a look at history if you don't believe me. Who was it that put us... to quote a poker term, I see these tournaments on TV, all in, and the Vietnam War. It was Lyndon Johnson. But who became the real villain in the whole debacle of Vietnam? Of course, it was Richard Nixon. When Nixon got elected, the public kind of forgot all about Johnson's role in it, and I've never forgiven him for that. I have news for you. The public's memory hasn't gotten any better. And they're not any more well-informed than they were back then. And I don't care if it's Rudy Giuliani or Mitt Romney or John McCain, Fred Thompson, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, or Al Gore, who sits in the Oval Office. This war, and you mark my word, this war will belong to that president. It's crazy. It's crazy to consider waiting 18 months to do anything about this. The time to end this thing is right now. And that's why I am still bitter about Harry Reid giving up on the fight, not filibustering, not doing anything that I can see of note to put a stop to that appropriations bill. It should never have been sent to his desk. He should have been forced. He should have been forced into bringing our troops home. There is no way he could have come up with the money to continue this debacle. And yet they handed it to him on a silver platter. Because, oh, gee, because we can't do anything. As I mentioned yesterday, I guess I'm not being too hard on him, but I'm disgusted with Harry Reid and the leadership of the Democratic Party at the moment. I really am. And a lot of people say, well, you know, they've got some underlying plan. They're very intelligent people. They've got some super secret plan that we don't know about, and let's leave it in their hands, because after all, they are the leaders of the party. They must know what they're doing. I disagree. I don't think they must know what they're doing. I really don't. I don't think sometimes that they have any idea at all. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you a conservative Republican who believes George W. Bush did the right thing by invading Iraq? Are you in agreement with Mr. Bush when he says, we need to stay the course no matter how long it takes? Do you agree with the president when he says that he will never set any time schedule to pull out our troops? Well, if you agree with all that, then you'll certainly want to help out Mr. Bush by signing up your kids or grandkids for military service today. Yes, just call your local Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marine recruiter and tell them the age and social security number of your little Johnny or Susie and make an appointment for a free visit by your local military recruiter. We know that by supporting the president's war, you are a super patriot, and you'll want to be the first on your block to offer up your kids for Mr. Bush's war. Don't worry if you think they're too young. Even if they're only 10 or 11 years old, this war will certainly last long enough for them to get involved. And for the first 15 callers, we're offering absolutely free a CD of the president uttering those famous fighting words, bring 'em on. Yes, this CD will have special meaning to you, especially if your kid is wounded or killed in Iraq. So call now and get your child or grandchild registered today. Just call 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID. That's 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID.
John Lennon. You may say I'm a dreamer, but someday the world may live as one. Oh, if we only could. If we only could. I've mentioned, I guess, many times that I do love that song, and I do love the lyrics. They're so meaningful. And it seems a far-off dream. A far-off dream when they were written. Perhaps an even more far-off dream today. I don't know that we've made any progress since that song was written toward world peace, toward everybody getting along, toward settling our regional differences. I don't know if we've made any progress at all. Some might say that, well, since the Berlin Wall has fallen, that was a step forward. And it was. And some might say that the end of the Soviet Union put an end to the Cold War, and that was a good thing. But there's still terrible political strife around this small planet of ours. Enough political strife to cause angst and anxiety and problems for much of the world, both in loss of lives and treasure. And we spend so much time on wars in this world. And when you stop and think of all the good that could have been done with all the blood and treasure that have been spent on wars over the years, particularly in the last century or so, you have to wonder where the world could be if we were as civilized as we think we are. Obviously, we're not. Gosh, I'm getting deep today. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. We do hope you'll give us a call. Just to show you how terribly disorganized and disjointed this Bush administration is right now about this war. And I don't want to keep harping about the Bush administration. It's the war I'm concerned about. It wouldn't make any difference if Attila the Hun were the president right now. I'd be harping against him, too. Wouldn't make any difference who it was. If it was John Kennedy or Franklin Roosevelt, I would be harping against this war. Because it's wrong. But to show you how messed up they really are, and how they don't have a damn clue on what's happening. A couple of things I noticed from yesterday. The State Department yesterday, the State Department said the United States has irrefutable evidence that Tehran is transferring arms to Taliban fighters in Afghanistan, a top U.S. diplomat told CNN Wednesday, noting that NATO forces have intercepted some of the arms shipments. There's irrefutable evidence the Iranians are now doing this, and it's a pattern of activity, U.S. Undersecretary of State Nicholas Burns told CNN. He said it's certainly coming from the government of Iran. It's coming from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps Command, which is a basic unit of the Iranian government, Burns said. That coming from the State Department. Irrefutable evidence. Now we go to the Defense Department yesterday, same day that the statement came from the State Department, and the Defense Department says the quantity of Iranian weapons being shipped to the Taliban in Afghanistan makes it unlikely that the Iranian government is not involved, Defense Secretary Robert M. Gates said today at Ramstein Air Base in Germany. He went on to say it's pretty clear there's a fairly substantial flow of weapons into Afghanistan, but I haven't seen intelligence specifically to this effect. But I would say, given the qualities we're seeing, it's difficult to believe it is associated with smuggling or the drug business, or that it is taking place without the knowledge of Iranian government. Maybe Burns of the State Department should show his irrefutable evidence to Gates at the Defense Department, or maybe Gates should try and find out why vital intelligence information is being withheld from him. Or maybe Burns' irrefutable evidence is something other than intelligence information. It's almost impossible to think that here we are in the middle of a horrible war, and we have these disjointed statements coming from the State Department and another one from the Defense Department. One says we have irrefutable evidence, and the other says we do not. The incompetence in this administration is literally staggering. Has been from the onset. They pulled in a lot of the old guard from Daddy Bush's administration, and it seems they didn't do anything towards stabilizing this out-of-control administration. They've done nothing to lend any credibility, credence, or stability to this Bush administration whatsoever. And there was all the hooting and hollering when they first started this administration. And, oh, Junior's bringing in some of Daddy's best. And what a fine administration this is going to be. We had Colin Powell. It's turned out to be a nightmare for him and for the country. Of course, Negroponte. Some of the criminals from the Iran-Contra days. From the very beginning, this administration had no clue what it was doing. They were warned, obviously, by the outgoing Clinton administration of problems with Al-Qaeda, that attacks could happen. Bush was warned, a couple of weeks ahead of time, that something might happen, and they sloughed it off. Oh, this has been a disaster for America. It really has. It's such a sad situation. We're going to pause for news right now here in the Guy James Show. Member of the Head On Radio Network, music director Billy Shears. We'll be back after 5 minutes of news. Don't go anywhere.
Reality News Network. Lewis Scooter Libby was just denied a plea to avoid a prison sentence for exposing an undercover CIA agent. Libby is the former aide to Vice President Dick Cheney. He is supposed to begin serving time within the next 4 to 6 weeks. There is, however, the likelihood President Bush will issue a pardon. In Gaza City, Hamas militants this morning overran an important Fatah security compound, dragging those found inside into the street for execution. President Mahmoud Abbas, for the first time, has ordered his elite presidential guard to fight back. Iraq's Green Zone is under fire despite strict curfews following an attack on a revered Shiite shrine yesterday by Al-Qaeda. Police said dozens of mortar rounds hit the heavily fortified Green Zone while U.S. officials were inside discussing the Iraq government's efforts to meet targets to end the war. A Pentagon report to Congress raises questions about the U.S.-led crackdown in Baghdad, while the quarterly report says it's still too early to tell if the beefed-up security is working. Officials are skeptical of Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's pledge to prohibit interference of security operations. The American people are apparently unhappy with President Bush's job performance. In a Wall Street NBC poll, only 19% of those polled said America is headed in the right direction. 68% disapproved of the president's leadership, and only 23% approve of the job Congress is doing. As part of continuing attempts to garner support for the White House-approved immigration bill, congressional leaders are expected today to ask for a $4 billion program to beef up border security and employment enforcement programs. Missiles and missile shields are on the agenda for NATO ministers today. They will be considering Russia's offer for a missile shield in the Mideast. The U.S. had proposed 10 anti-missile interceptors in Poland and a radar unit in the Czech Republic. Russia countered that the U.S. plan to install those defense systems would start another arms race. The Houston Chronicle reports two Cuban national soccer team players have defected to the U.S. The men disappeared shortly before a soccer match yesterday between Honduras and Cuba. Former U.N. Secretary General Kurt Waldheim has died. He was 88 years old. You're listening to QNN. Science and Business are next.
We want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea, on California's beautiful central coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple keystrokes and you're visiting a beautiful website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for. Quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, quiet, and the best shops, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that honest information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
The International Space Station is up and running after flight controllers in Moscow were able to repair the computers that control the station's air and water supplies. Astronauts are anticipating a spacewalk tomorrow to repair a torn thermal blanket. A Chicago mother is getting a private screening of the space shuttle Atlantis. Natalie Mellinger's baby monitor is picking up the video inside the space shuttle. Live video of the mission is up on the NASA website. Southwest Airlines says it may cut back on its 8% a year expansion program. The discount air carrier says seat sales have cooled and it can't raise fares high enough to offset the drop in revenues. GM, Ford, and Chrysler say they'll seek major concessions from the United Auto Workers during this summer's contract talks. The companies say their financial problems are worsened by wages and benefits of their workers. Rising fuel prices pushed the inflation rate slightly higher last month. The Labor Department reported wholesale prices rose by less than 1%. The good news, food prices declined for the first time in 7 months. Light sweet crude oil is trading at $67.65 a barrel. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is up 70 points. The NASDAQ is up 17 points. And the S&P 500 is up 7 points. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Claudia Eisman.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy Fry James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you got some good out of the news. I did. Good to hear that the stock market's up again. Up 70 points again today. Been up, 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 and up. Has it affected you? Normally they say, well, you know, the stock market, that's really, even though people don't invest, aren't invested, maybe the poor and the middle class aren't invested so much in the stock market, it's a great thing for America that it's going up, because after all, the more corporate profits they are and the more dividends paid and so forth, the more jobs that are created. Oh, really? Oh, really? It's not trickling down, folks. It's not trickling down at all. It's stopping at the first tier up there at the top. Nothing is trickling down anymore. We mentioned, I didn't mention, but I was going to. I've been told, and I've seen some trailers of the film and so forth, that this new film of Michael Moore's Sicko is one not to be missed. I've heard from two or three people now that have seen it and said it really lowered the boom on the healthcare industry, which Lord knows needs a complete overhaul. And Michael Moore, regardless of what you think of Michael Moore personally, I think he's a somewhat objectionable character, but he knows how to make great movies. And he knows how to spur controversy, and he knows how to get to people to thinking about issues. Very, very good at that. I have no quarrel with Michael Moore's movies whatsoever. I think he's one of the very best. And I'm sure this movie, just like his last one, will be very well attended. I think we can be absolutely sure of that. So if you get a chance to see that, and I'm going to at the first opportunity to see Sicko, Michael Moore's new movie. I guess he doesn't need me doing ads for him. He's doing quite well. But 866-546-5254, if you'd like to give us a call. We'd love to hear your opinion. We're asking everybody today what they think about the Scooter Libby deal. Do they think he'll get a pardon? Do they think Bush will crack? And will somebody inside the White House, namely Mr. Dick Cheney, go to the Oval Office and say, hey, Georgie boy, I think you better give him a pardon, or he might sing like a canary. I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to say. Hard to say whether he'll get a pardon or not. I personally think he will. I do. I think he will. We shall see. Bad news for the Republicans. I was reading a story today that the Republicans are becoming a little more rare each month, according to the new Rasmussen poll. And Democrats shouldn't gloat over it, I guess, because they were elected to end the war, and they need to do that. But for the fourth straight month, the number of people identifying themselves as Republicans has decreased. The new Rasmussen report, it says that their national telephone survey of 15,000 adults, so this is no small sampling, 15,000 adults in May found that just 30.8% of the population now say that they're Republicans. That's down slightly from last month and down more than 6 percentage points from the GOP peak of 37%, 37.3 actually, during election 2004. So that's a heck of a drop. The number of Republicans has been falling fairly steadily since the middle of 2005. Gee, I wonder why. I wonder why anybody would jump ship. I wonder. But the thing to remember is the survey also found that the number of people identifying themselves as Democrats has fallen to its lowest level in 17 months since January of 2006. Democrats gained about 2 percentage points of support during 2006 and peaked at 38% in December of last year. And since actually taking control of Congress, Democrats have given back most of those gains. Today they're at 36.3. They say they're Democrats. as opposed to 30.8. Now, that's quite a difference. That's almost 6%, 5.5% difference in between registered people who identify themselves as Republicans and Democrats right now. If it would stay that way, and I have every reason to believe that it will, if it would stay that way, the next presidential election would be an absolute rout. And the congressional election as well. The Democrats might end up with majorities that they can really do something with if it should stay this way. And with Junior Bush at the helm, I don't see any reason why it shouldn't stay that way. I'm not hoping that it does, but I've got to be a realist here. I would love for the war to end now. And the Bush people will be able to say, see, we've got a legacy of ending this war. I would love that. I don't want it prolonged for political gain. If there's some way they could end the war right now, if the Republicans ended the war right now, tremendous, wonderful. I'd stand up and cheer. Even if the Democrats took lumps over it, I'd stand up and cheer because that's the most important thing facing our country right now. 866-546-5254. If you'd like to comment on anything we've had to say today. Nobody's mentioned much on the program, and none of our callers too much about the immigration reform. And Junior's back up there trying to get that done again. That might be, in my opinion, one good thing that the guy could get done. But, of course, the hardcores in his party don't want it, and the conservative spin on forcibly rounding up and deporting 12 million people of one ethnicity. That's, when you stop and think about it, that's a larger project than Nazi Germany's roundup of the Jews in the 1930s. And, of course, they're doing it. And they're recommending it by invoking that term they love to use so much, except in the case of Scooter Libby or any of the Republicans that get convicted of a crime. They're invoking the rule of law. You see, these people coming across the border have broken the rule of law. Coming here for work so that they can eat, they're breaking the rule of law. Yes? They're right. If the people that come across the border are not U.S. citizens and they're illegally coming across the border, they have, in fact, broken the law. Maybe things need to be changed. Maybe it's wrong to deny somebody a living so that they can feed their family. Just maybe that's not the right thing to do. Maybe that's not the way mankind should be. I don't know. But it's the Republican way to be. But, you know, you got to beware, whether it's blowjobs or deportation or peeking in your windows, whenever you hear them invoke the rule of law, the Republicans, you know it's to cover one form of intolerance or bigotry or another. Doesn't make any difference if it's witch burning or slavery or Jim Crow and the Holocaust. They were all carried out under the rule of law. As happened with gun control, the Democrats are forced by the reality of a xenophobic electorate to just cave in to our non-existent Mexican problem. And, you know, when you take a look at the national figures, and I know what California and Arizona and New Mexico and Texas says, but when you take a look at the national figures, it does show that illegal immigration is not a statistical issue, applying the ups and downs of the results. The bottom line is that it's the GOP's last grasp to save their sorry asses in 2008 from being dumped into the ash bin of history. And per usual, whether 9/11, WMDs, aluminum tubes, what else, Saddam Hussein with a nuke or Osama bin Laden swimming the Rio Grande, they're going to apply the fear to play on middle America's ethnic and racial bigotry. And make no mistake, there's plenty of that left in this country. Plenty of it. And with voter age demographics slowly pushing religious intolerance back under the rocks where it belongs, It's the only issue that they have left. It really is. And what's with Lou Dobbs? Since this whole thing began with Lou Dobbs leading the way, the polls show that 8% of Hispanic voters have moved from 60% voting Democrat to 80%. 80%. I wonder how the Republican consultants do their math. I really do. I suppose it's that their base in this are some old farts who vote in higher numbers than Hispanics. I don't know. Hard to figure their numbers sometime. 866-546-5254. Give us a call. We'll be back in just a minute.
There's a name for war and killing. And there's a name for giving in when you know another answer. For me, the name is sin. But there's still time to turn around and make all hatred cease and give another name to living. We could call it peace. And peace would be the road we walk each step along the way. Peace would be the way we work, and peace the way we play. And in all we see that's different, and all the things we know, peace would be the way we look, peace the way we grow. There's a name for separation. There's a name for first and last, when it's all of us or nothing. For me, the name is past. But there's still time to turn around, make all hatred cease, and give a name to all the future. We could call it peace. And if peace is what we pray for, and if peace is what we give, then peace will be the way we are, and peace the way we live. For there still is time to turn around and make all hatred cease and give another name to living. We could call it peace. 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 Last night I had the strangest dream. I never dreamed. I dreamed the world had all agreed to put an end to war. I dreamed I saw a mighty room, and the room was filled with men, and the paper they were signed. They'd never fight again. And when the paper was all signed and a million copies made, they all joined hands and bowed their heads. Grateful prayers were prayed. And the people in the streets below were dancing round and round, and guns and swords and the forks were scattered on the ground. Sing it with me. Last night I had the strangest dream I never dreamed. I dreamed the world had all the greed to put an end to war. Sing it again. Last night I had the strangest dream I never dreamed before. I dreamed the world had all. I dreamed the world had all the greed to put an end to war.
John Denver, peace. Love John Denver. Love that song. 24 minutes after the hour right now, here in our second hour of the program today. We've got Bruce coming up from Talking Radio, blogspot.com, coming up around 4:30. We'll wait for him to call in today. I got a touching email, and I hope the person that wrote it doesn't mind if I touch upon some of it, but I mentioned a week or so ago, we were talking about people being poor. And there are more poor people in this country than there ought to be. There are more people, poor people in this world than there ought to be. And while it's true that the American poor are richer than, say, for example, the poor in Africa, nonetheless, compared to everybody else's standard of living in this country, they are poor. And this gentleman wrote me this note. Dear Guy, I do not have a computer. I log on and listen to some of your archives at my brother's house. He has an old computer, and it streams your show just fine. I heard you talking in one of your programs about the American poor. I am poor. I used to have a good job in the auto industry. My job is gone. My job is in China now. Lost my job. Lost my insurance benefits. Lost my home. Lost everything I had. I was like everybody else, living from paycheck to paycheck, but happy nonetheless. Until I lost my job. And until I lost my job, I never really realized what it was like to be poor. Now I know. I know what it's like to have lived in my car. Fortunately, right now I'm not. I'm living with relatives, but I'm not living in my car. But I do know what it's like now. I know what it's like not to be able to get medical care when I need it. I know what it's like to go hungry. I know what it's like not to have decent clothes to wear even to go to church. I know what it's like to be poor. And Guy, I wanted to share a few of my thoughts with you about being poor. These are not original ideas. I've seen them elsewhere, but I heartily agree. Being poor is getting angry at your kids for asking for all the stuff they see that on TV. And being poor is having to keep buying $800 cars because they're what you can afford. And then having the cars break down on you because there's not an $800 car in America that's worth a damn. Being poor is hoping the toothache will just go away. Being poor is knowing that your kid goes to friends' houses but never have friends over to yours. Being poor is going to the restroom before you get in the school lunch line so your friends will be ahead of you and won't hear you say, "I get free lunch," when they get to the cashier. Being poor is living next to the freeway. Being poor is coming back to the car with your children in the back seat, clutching that box of Raisin Bran you just bought and trying to think of a way to make the kids understand that this box has to last. Being poor is wondering if your well-off sibling is lying when he says he doesn't mind when you ask for help. Being poor is a heater in only one room of the house. Being poor is hoping your kids don't have a growth spurt. Being poor is stealing meat from the store, frying it up before your mom gets home and then telling her she doesn't have to make dinner tonight because you're not hungry anywhere. Being poor is Goodwill underwear. Being poor is not enough space for everyone who lives with you. Being poor is feeling the glued soles tear off your supermarket shoes when you run around the playground. Being poor is thinking $8 an hour is a really good deal. And being poor is relying on people who really don't give a damn about you. Jerry. Thank you, Jerry. Some very poignant thoughts. Very poignant thoughts. 866-546-5254. We hope you'll give us a call here in the program today. We'll be back in just a moment.
I pledge obedience to the flag of the United States of America and to the corporations for which it stands, one nation, uninformed, in denial, with liberty and justice forsaken, forbidden, and forgotten. Just because we know we are right, just because we think we are free, because we have such military might, we are killing for the oil companies. Just because our statesmen are weak, and in the guise of Christianity, just to keep our headlights burning bright, we are killing for the oil companies. From 60,000 feet in the air, our heroes take out heathens from their padded easy chairs. Just because we saw it on TV, from journalists with no integrity, who laugh and smile while other nations bleed, as we are killing for the oil companies. If you don't shoot me, I will not shoot you. This is the best thing that we all can do. Just sell your car and ride a bicycle too. Then Muhammad and Jesus will live like brothers do.
60,000 feet in the air. Our heroes take out heathens from their padded easy chairs.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the corporations for which it stands, one nation, uninformed, in denial, with liberty and justice forsaken.
Back with you here at the Guy James Show. Give us a call, 866-546-5254. Do want to clue you in on what's going on next week. We're, once again, we're going to be at the Take Back America Conference put on by the Campaign for America Future folks. Monday and Tuesday, we're going to be live from the Washington Hilton Hotel, where they're going to have at least 3,000 progressive activists there. And just to give you an idea, and again, we're normally not on Monday, but we will be this week, Monday and Tuesday. There are going to be about 3,000 people there. They're going to be... a radio row, and we're going to be amongst them. I just give you an idea of some of the speakers here. I'm looking for Sherrod Brown's going to be there, Amy Klobuchar, Bernie Sanders, John Tester, Hillary Clinton, Bill Richardson. They're all going to be speakers. Barack Obama, John Edwards, Jason Alexander is going to be better known as George Costanza. Barbara Boxer is going to be there. Who else? Dennis Kucinich. Nancy Pelosi. Michael Moore is going to be there. He's going to be there to discuss his new movie, Sicko. Let me see. That is at 9:45 in the morning. That's a good time. I'll be sitting in on that one. That's for sure. What day is that? Wednesday, 9:45 in the morning. I'll be sure and go to that. Howard Dean's going to be there, Jesse Jackson, who else? Pollster Stan Greenberg. So pretty much the who's who of the Democratic Party, almost all of the Democratic candidates. I didn't see Joe Biden's name on there. Originally it was. Not sure if he'll be there or not. Chris Dodd was scheduled to be there as well. We shall see. As is always the case with politicians, sometimes they show, sometimes they don't, sometimes they change the schedule at the last moment. So, but anyway, all the big shots are going to be there and will be there on Radio Row at the Take Back America Conference, and I'm looking forward to it. Always enjoy a trip into the nation's capital. Love the history of the place. Just a couple little stories here that perhaps some of you didn't see. You know, I loathe this Senator Stevens from Alaska. I always wonder what the hell were the people up there thinking, making him a United States Senator. And in 2000, he jacked his house off the ground, inserted a new first story, and placed the old first floor on top. Thanks to the help of a top executive at a local oil company, Vico Corporation, who hired at least one key contractor to complete the feat of a job. And two former Vico Corporation executives recently pleaded guilty to federal bribery and conspiracy charges, which included paying $242,000 in illegitimate consulting fees to Stevens' son, Ben, a former Alaska state senator. I wonder what percentage of these guys are clean. Not very high. I know they would. I know if I stood before the Congress of the United States and said that, I'd get booed. But I do wonder. I don't think the percentage of people that are absolutely clean that have never had their palms greased, I don't think that percentage is very high. Call me a cynic, but that's what I am. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy. It's Bruce.
Hi, Bruce. How are you doing?
Okay. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine. What's going on in the world of radio?
Well, it's there's really a lot starting to happen. You know, I was trying to figure out what would be worthwhile to talk about because I tuned into your show late, so I don't know what subject you're focusing on. But what seems to be going on in the talk radio business is the continued assault by the right wing talkers on to protect their turf. You probably are aware of what's going on in Florida and South Florida with the Broward County Board of Supervisors questioning whether they should use WIOD, which is the Rush Limbaugh station in Miami.
WIOD. I love that guy that does this call. WIOD.
Yeah. You don't get that up your way, right?
I used to go to Miami a lot, and heading across Alligator Alley, I would catch it. It's a big station over there.
Yeah. Well, apparently, are you familiar with what's going on?
Yes, somewhat. That they wanted to be able to put the emergency announcements on the same station as Limbaugh.
Right. Yeah. Well, they've been doing them there to a certain extent. I don't know how long their arrangement was, but the Board of Supervisors was simply wondering whether that they should make the free market decision and decide to go somewhere else. And for some reason, the same people who are always defending the fact that conservative talk radio has a 13-to-1 advantage over liberal talk radio is the market is going to demand that. But when the market decides that they don't want to do something, like advertisers decide they don't want to advertise on IMIS, or the Board of Supervisors decides maybe they want to put their hurricane announcement somewhere else, they get very much offended by that.
Oh yeah. That's been a big at least with the politicians over there, it's been a big issue.
Yeah. So we'll be watching that. I think it's always funny. More so, these things are tend to be a tempest in a teapot, because they kind of, to make a bad pun, they blow away kind of quickly. But but it is amazing how they get out there and rail as soon as someone attacks Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or someone like that. They're almost godlike in their approach.
Well, Rush is real popular over there. He frequents the Denny's parking lots and so forth, and he's added a lot to the economy, buying illicit drugs in the parking lots and so forth. So they're very fond of him.
Yeah. And well, the other thing in a somewhat related vein is this unbelievable outburst by Bill O'Reilly earlier this week. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, which was reported in detail last night on MSNBC, where the man actually had the audacity to say that covering the war in Iraq, the networks, that is, CNN and MSNBC, was helping the enemy, and that we have no right to be covering this because we don't have all the information. And he actually criticized the decisions of, I guess, every network except Fox. Interestingly enough, Fox only devotes 6% of its time to covering the war in Iraq. They feel, I guess, that it's there's not enough information.
Well, it's because they're fair. It's because they're fair and balanced.
Yeah, right. So O'Reilly has been skewered pretty much by just about every media outlet that's gotten wind of this story, and the man is totally out of control.
I think he's lost it.
Buys into this stuff.
Well, he's got the big ratings, so I guess he figures he's invincible. He can do anything he wants to, and has been doing anything, saying anything he wants to.
Well, his radio ratings are not that good. That's another thing. It's kind of interesting when he chooses to say something very controversial. He'll often say it on his radio show because maybe he's he doesn't want to blow it on the TV where he is doing a lot better. But his radio show ratings are generally very, very poor. In fact, I'm surprised he even continues to do the show.
Shouldn't think he would need to.
Right. It's just, I guess he's got such a tremendously big ego that he just has to beyond the, you know, some sort of audience, before some sort of audience day and night.
Right. Hey, I see our friend Randy Rhodes from Air America got named Female Broadcaster of the Year with Talkers Magazine.
Yeah, I didn't get up there this year. I know we talked about which events we can actually go to. I tend to go to anything that's out here on the West Coast, but from what I understand, it was pretty much of a bore. The event. The ultimate insult to Michael Harrison, who is the publisher of Talkers Magazine, which is basically, I don't want to get into that subject because I think it's a little off topic, but they have this thing called a Freedom of Speech Award, which is generally given to some right-wing talker like Limbaugh.
Right.
Hannity got it last year. Well, they decided to give it to Michael Savage this year. You know, the defender of freedom of speech. As long as it's my speech that's being defended. Now,
yes, that's
keep
right.
In mind. And well, Michael Savage didn't even come to the event. He videotaped a acceptance speech from his yacht in San Francisco Bay.
Oh, that's good. That's
so it wasn't as if he had to be somewhere. You know, like I would have loved to have been there, except I had to go to this other thing. The other thing was sailing on the bay.
Yeah, except Savage wouldn't love to be there.
Yeah, I think that's quite clear. So that was a little bit of an insult to the Talkers people, because it's actually a major industry gathering that occurs there. But the big news actually for the weekend was not so much the Talkers confab, but Air America in their continued effort to relaunch the brand of Liberal Talk Radio. And we continue to wait to see whether this relaunch is actually going to produce anything, because right now all we got is Lionel and a few other things. But they did have an event, which was the same weekend as the Talkers event, and it was attended by Bill Clinton. He showed up and said some very nice things to say about Mark Green, the president of Air America Radio, and the importance of Liberal Talk Radio. So,
if you're going to have somebody come to your launch, you can't do any better than that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. You and I haven't discussed this. I don't know if you want to discuss it or not, but I know the troubles that AAR's had, and far be it from me to discuss someone's radio business plan and so forth, because I'm not sitting on top of the world's ratings here.
Right.
But AAR came along, and they were the great hope of the liberals. Started off with evidently a very poor plan. It didn't work. Went belly up, business-wise, went belly up. Have jockeyed their lineup around. And I guess the point I'm wanting to make here, and I wonder what your opinion is, if you want to give it. And like I said, we haven't discussed this, and I don't want to put you on the spot. But I think that overall, and I'll get crucified by this, or saying this for some people, I think overall that Air America, in the broad scope of things, has hurt the liberal radio cause, because now I think potential sponsors see this as a failure, and why should I do any advertising on liberal radio programs? I'm just going to stay away from it. What do you think?
Well, I think that's and I'm not afraid to comment on this, although I will in fairness to the Greens try to give them some time to bring this thing back, because it was near death.
Yes.
When it went bankrupt in November, and the fallout, Franken leaving, and other things that went on at the time.
And let's be clear to people here. I think the Greens paid, what was it, $2.5 million for this?
You know, it's hard to say, because it was, some of it was just repaying some debts, and
yeah, but it was around $2.5 million. And for those of you folks that don't understand the radio business, you can't buy a decent radio station, local radio station, for $2.5 million.
Right.
So
one station in a medium sized market,
right?
Yeah. So, but that being said, you know, I think there are there's no question in my mind that liberal talk radio, as we know it today, and it's not in great shape, but it's much better than it was 3 years ago when we were at the talkers, the Roxy Radio meeting in Washington, trying to figure out how we're going to jumpstart this industry. And now we're at least on 60, 65 stations full-time and dozens of others part-time. So I think things are better. Now, the interesting thing is that Air America, we do a survey on www.talkingradio.blogspot.com, which we'll be releasing again at the end of this month, at the end of every quarter, basing the rankings of liberal talk hosts who are nationally syndicated. And last quarter, which ended March 31st, we actually evaluated and came up and said that Randy Rhodes is the number one host. And you know, some people went ballistic saying, well, it's Ed Schultz. No, it's not Ed Schultz. It's Randy Rhodes, and we demonstrated why. But that being said, what we also noted was that in January or December 31st, non-Air America hosts accounted for 35% of the ratings. That would be Ed Schultz and Stephanie Miller, you know, the Bill Press, that type of host, of 35% of the ratings. At the end of March, it was 46%. So my suspicion is that when we do the ratings for the end of June, that they'll be over 50%. What is that telling me? That's telling me that the independent, the syndicated liberal hosts are doing better than the Air America hosts. And unless they turn that around some way, that's more disturbing than anything else.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. But you know, as far as the category is concerned, the category is doing fine. You know, everyone complains. They say, you know, Air America went bankrupt, blah, blah, blah. The fact is that the ratings are generally pretty good on liberal talk radio.
Well, good. It's good to hear your opinion on it. I wondered what you thought, because the failure of somebody starting out with a venture can make it a whole lot rougher for those.
There's no doubt that somebody has probably made that decision, that they don't want to associate something that is associated with a bankruptcy. But that being said, I think a lot of the advertising salespeople who work for these Clear Channel outfits and others, they really don't, sometimes they just don't know how to sell. I mean, they proved that in Madison, Wisconsin, where they were going to pull off liberal talk radio in December, and they got so upset about that, they hold a public meeting, they produced 20 business people in Madison that were prepared to advertise on the station who were never contacted.
Yeah.
So, anyhow.
And that's not the way radio works.
No. But, you know, that being said, it's, you know, maybe you don't get the sharpest tools in the shed.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, and then we've got Nova M out your way.
Yeah, Nova M is, you know, is backed by the Drobneys, who, if anybody has followed the evolution of our business over the last 3 or 4 years, knows that they were the Sheldon and Anita Drobney from Chicago were the original backers of Air America Radio.
Right.
And they wound up selling out to another group, which wound up selling out. You know, there were a lot of evolutions after that, but they were marginalized to the point where they really didn't own a controlling interest anymore. So at a certain point, they said, you know, we're better off starting our own thing, and they've been trying to get something off the ground with Nova M, mainly using Mike Beloy as their main talk host. But we keep an eye on them, and the interesting development there, again, a little bit specialized for your group, But John Manzo, who was the executive producer of the Randy Rhodes Show, is now the COO of Nova M. So pretty sharp guy, so it'd be interesting to see what he does.
Kind of took Mike Newcomb's position.
No, it's not clear what I never knew what Mike Newcomb's title was. You know, Mike was a host.
Yeah.
On as well, but yeah, he did have a piece of it as well.
Right.
But John Manzo is a, and you probably know him a little bit, being from Florida.
Right.
Wasn't he? He was with Clear Channel in Tampa.
Right.
And then he went to work with Randy Rhoads for WJNO in West Palm Beach. And the rest is history.
The rest is history, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Bruce, it's been good to have you with us this week. Give us your website again so everybody can go check out all this good information.
Well, give us, whenever I talk with you, it's at the end of the week. And I do tend to post things over the weekend. They're ready for Monday, so I'd say if any of your listeners do check in, they should probably check in on Monday. But if they want to go in there now, there's a few posts that are interesting. But it's www.talkingradio.blogspot.com.
All right. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
You too, Guy.
So long.
Bye.
Send on over here to line 3. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, is this the real great Guy James Show?
Well, I don't know how great, but I am real.
That's a lot more important than some of the other people around this world are claiming to be.
Be what you is. Yeah.
This is Eric from Vermont. Hi, doing Guy.
Of course, hi.
I guess you're short on time. Great call. I mean, it's interesting how we try to play the media and try to get it out for informational purposes for the general public to understand. But, it is a matter of money, and open-air radio costs a lot of money, as maybe you said 15 minutes ago with that caller that you had there. And I'm sorry I've been multiplexing here and whatever it is. I hope you don't mind. I know you're short here, so cut me off anytime.
No, we're fine. We're fine.
Obviously, and I will not feel insulted.
You got plenty of time.
The Office of Special Counsel with Ms. Doan.
Yes.
Today, there was an interesting situation with Congressman Waxman just about coming 2 millimeters short of calling an absolute freaking liar and everything else. You know, I mean, it's like, okay, the Hatch Act. Here's a recommendation in the Office of Special Counsel. Firing recommended. But then again, she serves at the pleasure of the president, right? And this sounds, I'm sorry, I have a bachelor's degree in psychology, and I have some graduate courses in there and so on and so forth. And boy, is this really kinky, that pleasure principle that we're talking about? I mean, we're talking about some real kink for all the pleasure of the president comments that we get from her and Gonzales et al., and we'll get our Latin translator to translate the et al. For all those pleasure of the pit, whatever those people are. And I really, did you happen to watch that whole thing?
I saw some of it last night, and the minority vice chair, whatever, well, to Waxman's
the
right.
The minority.
Man, were they giving Waxman a hard time. And, of course, he's got elephant skin. It all rolls right off of his back. I'm amazed at Watson Henry Waxman sometimes.
Oh, he just stands in there, though, doesn't he?
Yeah.
No, actually, it's up on one of the C-SPAN thing. You know, for whoever people are that are listening to you, they do have that on there. I haven't had an opportunity because I got home from work and I really haven't gotten into that yet. But I've heard some of the YouTube kind of blurbs and so on and so forth. And he really does just pretty much say, okay, fine. So you testified in front of us that you didn't know what you're talking about or you can't remember. I don't recall. I mean, the typical statements. And then you go to the Office of Special Counsel and you say, well, I was holding that back because maybe there was that pleasure principle that we were talking about with President Bush that maybe I could get a little bit of slack on this whole thing. And I mean, that's the way I interpret it. And whatever. And he's basically bordering on perjury kind of comments of pretty much saying I mean, is that what you're interpreting?
Oh, absolutely. I saw Sarbanes, Congressman Sarbanes from Maryland last night over the Annapolis area. Ripped her head off. She said something about, I don't recall, and he said, oh, you've said that about 1,000 times. And they haven't been nice to her. She was giving that little speech of hers last night about how I helped tear down the Berlin Wall and all that to impress everybody. But they've gone right after her, and I have to give Waxman credit on that. He hasn't backed down. The only thing I'm waiting for is, with all of our hearings and all that, when are we going to get some results? That's what I'm looking for.
The results. I mean, you've been on the blogs. You know what the blogs are like. People are impatient. I mean, we're all here waiting for the Democrats to say, okay, 2006 November. Okay, when are you guys going to do that? Okay, public opinion polls, Democratic, or let's say the democratically controlled Congress at this particular point, are actually lower levels in popularity with Bush's, whatever, you know.
Right.
What are we talking about here? I mean, is it a game that they have to play, and we don't know how the game is being played because they're not obviously going to put it on in the program so that we can hear it on the news media in any sort of whatever it is. But what are the games? I mean, do you say impeachment is like we have to build step by step by step to get on the top of the pyramid, so we say, no, this is the way it goes? I mean, is it just a matter of just getting public opinion polls, public support, or is it a matter of strategically going after to say, this is the war room, we got to go here, and we got to go this, we got to go that.
Well, I wish I knew if they had a real strategy going right now, if they're just intent upon doing the hearings and going to be content with that, or if they're really and truly planning on building this foundation you're talking about to get toward impeachment or action against some of these people. Hey, Eric, we are down at the end.
I fully understand that, Doug.
Thank you so much for calling. A great call as always. I'm in the middle of my book. I'm going to be heading on an airplane this weekend, and I'm going to finish it on there.
And make sure all your listeners understand. Contribute to the Guy James Show. A great,
absolutely.
Great talk show.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. Always a good call. I do want to remind everybody that this is a listener-supported program, and we could most definitely use your help to keep the program going here on the Head On Radio Network, the Guy James Show. Don't forget, Monday, that's a little out of the ordinary, Monday and Tuesday, we're coming to you from the Washington Hilton Hotel at the Take Back America Conference. I hope you will join us. We're going to have great guests and a good program for you on those 2 days, Monday and Tuesday from the Washington Hilton. That's all for today on the Guy James Show here in the Head On Radio Network. Thanks to Billy Shears, BillyShearsMusic.com. Don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you Monday, gang.